Welcome to Across the Desk, where we discuss entrepreneurship, small business, and everything in between. Hi, my name is Elizabeth Plouffe, and welcome to Across the Desk. Today is Wise Words, and Wise Words is other people's wise words. I do have some wise words of my own, but I'm also a crazy reader. And if you've watched the Wise Words series before, you'll know I introduce basically the same way pretty much every time, consistency and all that great stuff. So today I am sharing with you, You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen, and I just learned it is Sincero. I was calling her Sincero or something like that, which sounds pretty but isn't correct. And I'd heard about the badass books before, but this one really struck a chord, and I've been working with a mastermind group that I belong to around money issues. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners, come to the table, come to business with some money issues. So either you think you deserve a shit ton of it and use it to squash people, or you kind of worry about it turning you into somebody who wants to squash people. Or hopefully, you know, if you're well adjusted, you sort of hit somewhere in the middle. And I'm really, really happy with this book. So this Wise Words might go on a little longer because there's a lot I'd like to read to you from it, which I tend to do. And as always, I want to let you know, I don't recommend books lightly. If a book sucks, I will tell you it sucks and I won't recommend that you go and get it. And, you know, my taste isn't everybody's taste, but I like to think in the grand scheme of things, I probably hit the mark most of the time. And I mean, right now, if you look at this video, it's like I have a halo. So you have to believe what I'm saying anyway. So I'm going to just jump right in. You can see the book here. Woo! You Are a Badass at Making Money. Jen Sincero. I'm just watching a few of her videos. She's a really engaging lady. And one of the things I like about this book, I have read other money books. One thing I really, really like about this book is that, it speaks to you in plain speak. And it's not a heavy duty finance book. It's not a business building book in that capacity. It sort of helps you deal with the monkey crap that goes on in your head when you are pursuing business and when you are looking to make more money or be rich. And I've struggled with that personally for a very long time. And that's through personal experience of people who in my life ended up earning a lot of money and just turned into, well, not nice people. And I have my own moments where I'm not a nice person, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, I like to believe that I'm here to serve and I'm here to give back. And so I was really afraid for a long time that if I earned a lot of money and became rich, that I would not be the person that I wanted to be. And so that's one of the main reasons that I've done the work that's available in this book. Not only have I read it, but it comes with exercises that you do to identify, you know, issues that you didn't even realize that you had and to work through them and do better. So you know it's a good book for me if it's covered in my little stickies. And I usually tend to lend it to people with the stickies intact. So, you know, maybe it brings attention to them. I mean, it may not mean the same thing to them as it does to me, but works for me. So, you know, part of aging, cheater glasses, because otherwise I could read you like the completely wrong crap and that's not going to work. So one of the first parts of the book that I ended up getting some value out of, and I said, it was one of her quotes. She puts these nice little nuggets, and it says, one of the biggest obstacles to making lots of money is not a lack of good ideas or opportunities or time, or that we're too slovenly or stupid. It's that we refuse to give ourselves permission to become rich. And that really struck a chord with me, because for a very long time, probably more based on the fact that I wasn't rich, I was critical of rich people. So I'm sorry to all the rich people out there if you're a nice person. If you're not, well, you get what you get. But that was one of the reasons that I was so critical of rich people, is that I wasn't. And so that little green monster was probably doing a tap dance in my brain 90% of the time. And consequently, I was being very judgy pants and what have you, because I wanted what they had, not the stuff, but the power to do things, not to be powerful, but the power to do things that I wanted to do that money required. And so she says here, this part I can read because it's in big letters, rich, able to afford all the things and experiences required to fully experience your most authentic life. And this has been one of the major life-changing things for me in this book and reading her words. And it's based on her experience. I should give you a little background. Basically, this comes from the fact that she struggled with money for many, many years and struggled to make it, struggled to keep it, struggled to move forward with it. And so this is written from her perspective and her experience. I will come out at the very beginning and say one thing that I don't like about this book is that there are very few original ideas on this planet. We are very lucky that we have such a huge population and we can benefit from the experiences of thousands, if not millions, of other people. And so I find it hard at the end of this book to not see any acknowledgement of people that she's spoken to or learned from or references that she's used or what have you. Because, you know, if you read this book, if you ever read Napoleon Hill's Think or Grow Rich, that's all about acknowledging and engaging with universal intelligence and, you know, changing your mindset. And that's one of thousands of books that I'm sure that are out there that everybody's tapped into at one point. So that's my only criticism, is that there's no way that this entire book is complete original thought. Her experiences, 100% hers, and never question that. But it's some of the psychology behind the change and behind the exercises that she's created that I think there's got to be somebody else's wisdom in there somewhere. So that's just the one thing that I have to be honest about. So as we continue through the book, going back here, and it says here, you cannot give what you do not have. So if you want to help others, you have to take care of yourself first. This is why they always tell you on airplanes that you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you help someone else with theirs. They have to remind us of this because it's counterintuitive. Unless you are a sociopath, it's your nature to help. Few things light up the human heart like helping or bringing joy to others. Trust in the fact that when you're well taken care of financially, you'll be even more poised and inspired to spread the love. Love that. Because over and over again, when my husband and I fantasize about winning the lottery, all I can think about is how I can help people. So that was really cool. So she goes on throughout the book to talk about how you need to focus and how you need to work towards goals and identify those and make sure that not only are you asking the universe specifically what you wanted, and I should backtrack again because that is specifically what this book brings to you, is that the acknowledgement and the understanding that your mindset is chief to anything that you want to achieve. And if that's all screwed up and subconsciously you're repelling money and, you know, don't want to be rich, don't want to be successful, then that's what the universe is listening to. So this encourages you to really take a look at those thought processes and learn how to change and reframe them so that you are not subconsciously telling money to F off, which is not going to help you become rich anytime soon. So one of her points here is you can't do anything if you try to do everything. And I love this statement here. She says, one of the biggest banana peels on the road to success is fragmenting your time and focus. I have ADOS, so I totally, attention deficit, oh shiny. If you're all over the place, you're half-assing a bunch of different things instead of kicking ass at one thing. Figure out how you're going to get rich. Make the no-nonsense decision to keep going until you reach your goal, and as part of your reward, you'll get to do all the other things you couldn't do while you were busy sticking by your decision to get rich. Really, really cool. If you ripped this page out of the book and did this just one thing, decided with 100% commitment that you will get rich and stick to your resolve to do so until you're rolling in it, you would be victorious. Because when you decide, you automatically become obsessed with thoughts of making it happen. You're looking everywhere for opportunities, scary ones. Your faith is strong like bull, because if you didn't believe getting rich was possible, you wouldn't have decided to do it in the first place. You're grateful that what you desire already exists. It's all you think about and has become real in your mind. You take huge risks and you have zero patience for anyone who tells you it's not going to work. Think about it. You can make a decision as menial as changing the color of your bathroom and you're suddenly a force of nature. Looking at the paint on walls you've seen a million times a whole new way. Talking excitedly about nothing else. Inspiring friends to leap behind plants when they see you approaching with yet more paint samples in your hands. A firm decision sets everything in motion, your mindset and your actions, and also alerts the universal intelligence that this is how it's going to be, and it starts moving everything you need in your direction. How cool is that? And I mean, and she's one thing I really like so far that I'm learning about Jen Sincero is that she's a real no BS kind of woman. She reminds me, of Mel Robbins and Brene Brown and Oprah, where they, you trust what she has to say because she's not fluffing it up. She's not making it all touchy feely, which repels me in more ways I can imagine. And I love that. I love it. So I'm just going to read you a few more things. There's one big one towards the end. Nope, not going to do that one. Sorry. Going to jump ahead. And here's one of the other really cool things. Not only is getting rich and being rich up to you and your mindset, it's also about the people that you surround yourself with. And if you constantly surround yourself with people who cry poor me and, you know, don't want to do the work, and month after month they're coming to you with the same complaints, those are not the people that you need to elevate yourself and move towards the lifestyle that you want. They just make you feel better about the lifestyle that you have. And that's not what you want to do. Well, that's not what I want to do anyway. I shouldn't tell you what to do. But if you are in that mindset where you're sick and tired of not being able to afford vacations like me and not moving your business into the big arenas, then you need to surround yourself with people that you aspire to be, not people who are aspiring to be you. And not that that's not amazing, but you want to be with the people who are going to give you the tools to change and grow and become, you know, rich in the way that you want your business or your personal life to be rich. And so what she says here, chapters called Moving On Up, if you're around people who are making money in great and joyful ways, you'll not only see what's possible for you, but you'll be motivated to push yourself. If you're around people who are ripping bong, sorry, if you're around people who are ripping bong loads on the couch all day, I actually don't know anybody who does that, I don't think, you'll feel like a hero for getting your laundry done. That's my point. Healthy competition is a wonderful thing. Surround yourself with people who are bringing their A game, and you will want to bring your A game too. And I'm going to segue for just a second into a personal reveal. I was having a great conversation the other day with Holly Simmons of goldenlasso.com. Sorry. You can see, find Holly on Twitter at Lean with Holly, and she's on Instagram at the same thing. And I was saying to her, I just met with a new client, and I was saying to her how fortunate I was feeling that all of these amazing, strong, powerful women were coming into my life. So amazing to meet them and can't believe what they're accomplishing. And it was so amazing because Holly just stopped and she said, of course they are, because you're attracting who you are. And took me, I mean, honestly, almost took me to my knees. And she stopped and she said, you know, Elizabeth, you need to recognize that you're worth knowing. And that was huge for me. I mean, I had a little, you know, Miss Universe cry at that, because that's such a powerful statement to say to somebody, and to be somebody who is viewed as having their A game or getting there or is an inspiration to somebody to do better is an incredible gift. And I was so grateful to Holly for pointing that out. And I've really analyzed that and sort of made it a part of my being so that I remember to do my best and remember to bring my A game every time I'm working with somebody or meeting somebody. Yeah, you know, I always try and bring my A game when I'm working with somebody, obviously, not to backtrack, but just to know that my best is worthy and of value to people was an amazing thing. And that again goes back to what Jen Sincero is saying in this book, that bring your A game, work your ass off, ask the universe for what you want, and it actually can happen. So just two more bits of reading, a bit of a long wise words today, but this is one of the few books that's really inspired me in a very long time. So I really want to make sure some good messages are conveyed to you. So here we go. He was talking about Prince. It was really interesting because they talked about how Prince was the opening act for the Rolling Stones. And of course, Prince and the Rolling Stones, not exactly in the same musical category, rest his soul. And he decided that after getting booed off the stage a few times after opening for the Rolling Stones, he would never do it again. And he says here, yes, Prince was one of the most talented musical badasses to ever parade around the earth. And I really liked his music. That's me saying that, not her. And guess what? You have gifts and talents just as unique and important inside of you. And you're meant to respect, nurture, and strut your you-ness as unapologetically as Prince strutted his. The more in tune and in love you are with your awesome self, the less crap you will give about what any non-fans of yours think. The easier it will be to strut your strut, find your joy, and get it on with the green goodness of money. This is because getting rich and succeeding at making any of your other dreams a reality depends on who you're being, how you're thinking, speaking, believing, imagining, stretching, perceiving your world, all of which affect how you act. When you love and connect deeply with your highest self, you'll discover that your insecurities about sucking at your job or your fears about your money running out or your anger about the tomato that just hit you in the face while on stage, none of that is who you are. That gnarliness is just where you're at. As a human being, you will always face challenges and fears and sit next to someone who chews with their mouth open. So disgusting. We grow and learn through friction, even friction within ourselves. So your job isn't to try and rid your life of uncomfortable moments or prickly challenges or hard, long looks in the mirror. Your job is to master the art of responding, aka being responsible for and aware of your thoughts and actions. Your job is to short-circuit your knee-jerk instinct to react, which will keep you playing out the same tired, old, low-frequency patterns you've been lugging around your whole life. Acting out the same old impulses is why people go on a diet and lose a ton of weight only to put it back on again. Why people who win the lottery eventually end up right back where they started financially. Why most New Year's resolutions are barely even a memory by February. If you only change on the exterior and work on things outside yourself, like cutting down your donut intake, but you're being the same person on the inside with the same mindset of lack and fear. For an example, if I can't hide behind my wall of flab, I will be seen and vulnerable and very possibly rejected. You won't evolve. Love that. Just love it. I mean, it's got a little bit of fluff edge to it, which, you know, can make me crazy on a good day. But one of the last things I wanted to read to you from this book, because here's the reality of getting rich. Here's the reality of changing your situation and whatever rich means to you, if it means financial, if it means, you know, changing your diet, like whatever rich might mean to you. Here's the grunt of it. Change is hard work. Change requires effort. Change requires planning, and change requires the odd kick in the ass. And what she says here towards the end is in a chapter on tenacity. She writes, "The number one thing wealthy people attribute their success to is tenacity. Nobody achieves great success without walking through fire. And the difference between those who succeed and those who fail is a no-nonsense commitment to staying the course no matter how hot the fire gets. There is almost always a moment when all hell breaks loose. You lose a key client, your storeroom burns down, Starbucks moves in across the street from your coffee shop you just opened. And in these moments, you have two choices. You can either say, screw it, I'm out of here. Or, is that all you got, sucker? When the pain is almost too much to bear, if your mindset is weak, you will give up and blame something or someone else for your failure. If your mindset is rock solid, you will persevere." And then she has here, here are some key ways to keep going no matter how sucky the going gets. And she gives some terrific stories about, you know, hiking up the Grand Canyon and I think almost crapping herself or almost falling over or whatever, and risking being unpopular. And I'll read you this last story because this really got me thinking that back when I decided to become an entrepreneur, you know, I had a catalyst where my job ended and I had to decide whether I was going to continue sucking and working for other people, which I'm not good at. I love working with people. I don't like working for people who don't value who I am and just expect me to blindly follow their lead, because sometimes what they have to say is dumb. And if they're threatened by the fact that I want to bring that to their attention, then they're probably not the leader that I want to be working with. And I'm sorry, but it's time for a little drinky. So she writes here, this was a really cool story, risk being unpopular. And this ties into the fact that when I became an entrepreneur, I noticed that people's reactions to me changed. Before, when I was networking on behalf of an organization, body posture didn't really change and all these other things. But after I became an entrepreneur, I noticed a huge difference when I walked into a room. And part of it could be the way I was carrying myself and the confidence, the knowledge that I was there for my own purpose and not somebody else's. But I've noticed that when I meet new people and they ask what I do and I say I own my own business, a lot of women stand their ground or cross their arms. And that either means they're, you know, good for you, or they're threatened. I've had men actually take a step back. And you can just tell by the look on their face that they're not sure how to handle what I'm telling them. Not sure why. Reading a great book right now. It's upstairs, on leading women and how the workplace and corporations in general haven't changed all that much in their attitudes towards women, how we're not CEOs enough and what have you. So maybe that has to do with it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bitch. That could be it too. But when I read this, it really made me realize that I'm okay with being unpopular. I'm okay with people being uncomfortable with the path that I've decided to take. It's not their path. It's not for everybody. And that's totally cool. But don't try and dissuade me from what I'm trying to achieve. If you're threatened by what I'm doing or fearful or whatever, and I don't mean that in a critical way, but if that's how it makes you feel, well, then you got shit to work on, right? And I'm happy to sit down and help you with that. I'm happy to try and make you feel better or be brave enough to take the steps that you want to take. Just don't poop on my parade for already taking those steps. That's all I got to say to that. So the last bit here is risk being unpopular. And she writes this terrific story. Successful people are tenacious, which means they keep the faith much longer than the average person does. And praise the Lord, thank you for my husband, because he's one of the reasons I've been able to do what I do. Because of this, the average person tends to look upon the successful person before they have become successful as insane, ridiculous, give it a rest already. Successful people must hold tight to their vision while everyone around them is shouting things like, if you say Thomas Edison, what do you think you are? Magic? You're never going to get that stupid thing to light up. Go get a job. I remember seeing one of the most impressive displays of tenacity on a flight once while waiting for my plane to take off. A woman came bursting on with her two sons just as they were closing the doors with that sweaty, disheveled, wild-eyed look specific to two types of people. Out-of-shape people who've just narrowly missed their flight and people who have just killed someone. We're all sitting there, a captive audience, strapped into our chairs, watching her try to find a place for their luggage in the overhead compartments, dealing with getting the kids in their seats, and apologizing to the entire plane for the holdup. She obviously booked the flight last minute, too, because they weren't sitting together. They each had a middle seat, one in front of the other, which made it even more difficult for her to get everyone settled. But her real difficulty was with her older son, who refused to sit down. He was about 9 years old, and as he watched his little brother climb into his middle seat, he quietly informed his mother that he wanted a window seat. She responded with something about him being out of luck, and that he needed to sit down right now, to which he calmly replied, "No, I'm sitting by the window." To which she hissed, "Sit down." To which he said, "No." To which she shot another apologetic look down the aisle to the crowd. I'm sitting there in my window seat watching all this, trying to figure out if I should give him my seat and end her torture, give him a talking to, or hire him as my coach. I'd never seen such unshakable calm resolve in the face of such great danger. An entire airplane full of pissed off grown-ups. Yet this kid, without being bratty or pitching a fit, held his ground until the guy in front of me got up and switched seats with him. His desire for and vision of his goal outweighed and blinded him to all other options. Public humiliation, verbal abuse from adults other than his mother, no screen time for the rest of his life. He had the stick-to-itiveness to poo-poo one of the biggest blocks to success known to man, the need to be liked and fit in. If you plan on going from poor to rich, you too must stick to your guns at the risk of being unpopular. And you'll have to buy the book to read the rest of that great story. So I highly recommend this book. It is a terrific book. I'm loving the exercises. She has some great visualization things that you do. She has some terrific exercises that you go through. She asks you to write a letter to money. And I'm going to end with that because I wrote my first letter to money, and she asks you to sort of go into a state of flow and just, you know, let her rip. And my first letter to money started out with Dear Soul Sucking Dream Crusher. and which is not great. It's not really a letter you want to receive. And once I had excised those feelings, and once I had, you know, laid them all out and addressed them and realized those feelings about money, my second letter started much differently. And I read it to my mastermind group the other day and was blown away by their response and their support over the change. So if you are in business, if you are living in your mama's basement and you don't want to do that anymore, if you want to shift your circumstances like I do and travel with your family and get new furniture and do all kinds of stuff in your life and be in a position to help more people and give back and be amazing, then I recommend giving this book a shot. You Are a Badass at Making Money, Master the Mindset of Wealth by Jen Sincero, who is the author of You Are a Badass. You can check out her website and some other cool stuff that she's doing and give it a go. It's worth the money. It's worth the investment. I shouldn't say it's worth the money because it's really not, it's not expensive. It's $34 in Canada, which is, you know, three coffees. It's the time that you need to put into it. You need to work the book. You need to read the book. You need to do the exercises. I have currently finished reading the book and I'm going back and completing the exercises. And I'm telling you, change your life, man. So that's it for Wise Words today. I am really fortunate to be an avid reader and to learn and embrace the wise words of a lot of different people. You can check out my other podcasts. I think I've got 28 or 29 wise word days where I talk about different apps and books and things that I've watched or read or what have you, so that you can maybe get turned on and learn from other people as well. That's it for today. If you're watching the video or you're listening to the podcast and you've experienced some success with Jen Sincero, I'd love to hear about it. If you've been using the book and you've been having some breakthroughs, love to hear about those too. You can check me out on mcvcommunications.ca, which is currently being redone because, man, that needs a facelift. You can check me out on Twitter at mcvcomms and Instagram is mcvcommunications. I hope I'll see you there. I hope you drop me a comment, drop me a line. Let me know how things are going and how you're going to make your life rich. You're going to say thank you to money. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Across the Desk. You can follow me on Twitter at mcvcomms, Instagram at mcvcommunications, or visit mcvcommunications.ca to see where else I'm hiding out.